I gave people all the stuff they really needed. Social security checks, utility bills, TV guide.
I want a TV guidance counselor. TV guidance counselor. Staying up to watch all night, and everything's gonna be alright for my TV guidance counselor.
Good morning, good evening, bad evening, good afternoon, hello, welcome. It's Ken Reed here, your TV guidance counselor, as always. Welcome to the show I've been doing since February 14th, 2014. If you're a longtime listener, thank you. If you're a new listener, thank you. It's amazing to me we still get new listeners. Each and every week ticks up a little bit, but it ticks up. We get listeners. And I want to thank you for coming here and checking out the show for the first time. Or if you've told someone about the show, thank you. If you have a moment and you can review the show wherever you're listening to this now, whatever podcast app or however you're listening, that would be a huge help. If you leave a little honest review, hopefully you like the show if you're listening to it. You can email me and let me know where you heard about the show or what you think, or anyone you'd like me to have as a guest on the show. I always try to get them, no matter who they are, as long as they're alive. As long as they're alive. I had to think for a second if I tried to get a dead comedian or someone on via a medium. But at tvguidancecounselor@gmail.com or kenandikenreed.com, at Kenneth W. Reed on all the social media, at TV Guidance as well. Or if you have a dollar a month or more to spare, you can be a patron. You can go to patreon.com/TV Guidance Counselor, just Google Patreon and TV Guidance Counselor. And a little as a dollar a month, huge help. I really do appreciate it. I try to give you guys some bonuses over there. Let me know what kind of things you'd like to see. If you're a $5 or more a month patron, you get access to the full PDF archive. It's every single issue that I have scanned, and every week I post the PDF of that week's episode, so you can follow along, play along, and people tell me it's very fun. And I believe if you sign up for a year and pay annually, you get 2 months free. So that's pretty cool. And this week's episode is a fun one and a good issue of TV Guide, so you could follow along with my guest, who is comedian Chris Martin. That's right, not Chris Martin from Coldplay. This is the UK comedian. If you go to chrismartincomedy.co.uk, you can see him there. Or on YouTube, he has a special called Above Ground Comedian, which I have linked in the show description here and on the social media. So watch his special. I also put it on the Patreon, just for ease of use. It's easy to have to find. Chris Martin, Above Ground Comedian. Super nice guy, very funny. I always like talking to English people because, if you know me, I did live in London for quite a while, and my wife is English, and I have an affinity for those people. But this was a fun chat. So please sit back, relax, and enjoy this week's episode of TV Guidance Counselor with my guest, comedian Chris Martin.
TV is my friend, and it has been always there for me in time of need.
Live via satellite from lovely Los Angeles, Chris Martin. How are you?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me.
You're quite welcome. People may have noticed that you have an English accent, even though I said you were from LA, but you are a transplant.
I am a transplant. I've been here for 7 years. Haven't lost the accent, which is important.
Yeah, my wife is English, and also I think she's over year 20 and still has the accent. So,
yeah, I think there's a point. If you get it too young, you'll lose it. I actually spoke to a bloke on the phone today, been here for 24 years, still sounded like very British. So, you know, that's our one weapon we have out here. You guys have actual weapons. We just have our voices.
A barbed tongue. Being from Boston, when I lived in London, my Boston accent got very bad, which was really interesting.
Interesting. Is that where you met your wife?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I used to work at the Cartoon Network there. I went to Goldsmiths in London.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
So it was very weird. Like, the Boston accent is just enough, like, vaguely Cockney-ish pieces of it that it meant, like, my ear was like onto factory settings where I was like, what are you doing? It was very weird.
But I love the Boston accent. It's one of my favorite ones to mimic badly.
Yes. Although it's such a horrific accent. There's almost no way to mimic it badly. It's I've heard people who are from here who sound like they're doing a bad Boston accent, but that's just how they speak.
That's just their voice. Okay. Yeah. That's, you know, there's parts of the UK where we have, I can't, you know, some people will get offended if I do
Northern accents.
Like Scouser. Yeah. I'm from the South, so yeah. I get told I'm an ass by all of those people.
Yeah, it's very, very difficult. So did you start doing comedy in England, or did you start once you moved to LA?
Yeah, definitely England. Yeah, I did stand up for like 10 years in the UK. Then we moved to when I was like 30, my wife. she, yes, we both were like, yeah, it's just, I've always wanted to come over here. Not many Brits do it, but I, because you kind of in the UK, you can always make a relatively okay living from just doing stand up.
Yeah.
But I wanted to do other stuff, and LA people like to bag on LA, but there's loads of opportunities here that you just don't get in the UK.
And it's nice.
And it's sunny. Yeah. The main opportunity is being able to walk outside and not get covered in rain.
Yeah, it's nice, good food, everyone's in a good mood. The joke I always make when I first went out to LA, being like a gruff Northeasterner, was I was like, these people have no defenses. We could just conquer them. Because everyone's just like, hey, man. I'm like,
oh, that's so true. Everyone's, and just very easy to access. Everyone's just kind of got their little front yard. Yeah, that's true. And everyone, you just need a dog. All you need is a dog, and you can get into anyone's home in this part of the world.
Yeah. They're like, come on in. So interestingly, you picked an issue here from 95, and whenever I have UK guests on, it's always surprising to me how they react to the TV guide, because, you know, the number of channels, they're generally overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you had seen a US TV guide prior to this, but did you also, have that sense of overwhelmedness?
I was quite overwhelmed. For this, you have to choose, you know, a thing a night. And I was like, it was like reading the Bible. Yeah. to get to like a Wednesday. I was like, this is so much cycling through stuff. But I was very drawn to this one because it had Dean Cain on the front.
Yes, Dean Cain, a man who personally told me he doesn't believe CTE exists because he played college football.
Wow. When did you get to interview Dean Cain?
At a convention a few years ago. I from doing the show, doing stand up, I would get hired to do Q&As and moderate stuff at cons a lot.
Cool. Yeah, I've heard mixed things about him and his views. But I was going into nostalgic. I would have been 9 when this came out in July.
Yep.
Yeah, I would have
just turned 9. Yep.
Just a 9, and that in the UK, you know, we had less channels, but every, I want to say Saturday night, like prime time, New Adventures of Superman was on. And that was, how many seasons did it run for? I have no idea.
They were on like 7 seasons. This is kind of the forgotten Superman show. So as uncool as Dean Cain is now, and he does have some pretty horrific views, in the 90s, the Lois and Clark New Adventures of Superman was massive, and it's kind of been lost in time with like all the newly renewed love of superhero stuff. Like, nobody goes back and revisits this. Nobody ever talks about this show, but it was actually pretty decent. And if you're a comic fan, they actually surprisingly did a lot of comic specific stuff, like Mr. Mitzel Pitlick's in an episode, Bruce Campbell's on the show. Like, it's not a bad show.
It was very, I was trying to think as well, I was like 9, so it's just like, it just felt so like shite compared to what you get in the UK, like budget wise. I was like,
I
remember him putting his hand to stop a bus and the pilot, and I his dad in the show, he's one of those guys I'll see in like any, he does a lot of that. He's he's a quite established actor. So every time he's like, oh, that's the dad from Superman. That's what he's known, whatever he's done since. And in Dean Cain, the only other thing I've seen him in was, I think, a 90s movie with Brian Brown called Dog Boys, where he was a prisoner. And is Brian Brown in lockup with Sylvester? No, that's a different, that's Donald Sutherland.
Yes, that's Donald Sutherland, yeah.
I think it's Brian Brown in Dog Boys. He's trained dogs to rabidly attack prisoners, and Dean Cain, I'm pretty sure, and some people try to outrun the dogs, or they used to test the dogs. And it's like, you know, in the UK, we used to have four, and then the fifth one came out, Channel 5, which was like, I don't know what the US equivalent was, but it was like the crap.
Yeah, it's kind of like Fox was here when it started. But also like exploitative, like Channel 5 would be like, the world's horniest builders.
Yeah, I mean, don't mock it too much, because I have been a talking head on many shows like that.
It's a good gig.
A lot of my money on those. You just go, that was weird, that thing that happened, and then, yeah. So, yeah, but Dog Boys, I'm pretty sure, was on Channel 5 at the time. Also, Channel 5, very good for soft pornography when you're younger. You used to have a like Confessions of a Window Cleaner and stuff. So,
not even modern stuff. You're watching 70s soft pornography.
Mate, honestly, that's what they used to have on there. It was like, I don't even think it counts as porn now. I think it counts as daytime television. So, I was very excited to see Dean Cain, and I just was drawn to it. I was like, it was a real nostalgic endorphin rush when I saw his face on it.
Yeah, I can't blame you. It's again a good show that probably should be revisited, and I think the shadow of Dean Cain has ruined it in a lot of people's eyes. After this show, he started hosting Ripley's Believe It or Not, and then he is the king of made for TV Christmas movies. So he is in a billion movies about like talking dogs and Christian soldiers and all kinds of.
Mario Lopez does that.
Yes,
as well,
he does.
It's a funny. They're both sort of men of age. They look very good in there. I'm guessing Mario Lopez is early 50s. I'm sure.
Yeah.
Dean Cain is like, if you've still got good, you know, good skin elasticity in your 50s, you're going to be in those movies. But yeah, I like Mario Lopez as well because he just Saved by the Bell again, right up my street.
Yep.
Nostalgia.
No one can sit in a chair backwards better than Mario Lopez.
No, not at all. And no one can be that shredded when they're 15.
No, or 15. He was still it's very strange. It's just like a full on.
He's looked the same for 35 years.
It's all the weird cigarette ads in here. I don't know if that was surprising to you.
I'm trying to think. Growing up in the UK, I mean, yeah, on the first, you know, I guess it's the front and the back cover, right? So yeah, I was immediately drawn to the Benson Hedges straight away. I mean, my mum used to, till I was 18, she used to smoke a lot of silk cut cigarettes. Ooh. And actually, in the 90s, I think it was the same in the UK. You used to have snooker events were heavily sponsored by. It's the most British sentence in the world. Snooker events. If anyone doesn't know what snooker is. It is like pool, but way more boring.
Yeah.
Although it does have, I would argue, the greatest sportsman of all time still playing it, Ronnie O'Sullivan, the most naturally gifted sportsman. Look him up. That they used to have a lot of money. Their prize pool in the 90s was huge because it was sponsored by cigarettes, and then they stopped letting cigarettes be the sponsors. So then the money went down. So, you know, it's good for our lungs and stuff.
Would guys smoke while they were playing?
Yeah, they used to. Yeah,
that's
yeah,
amazing.
Yeah. Hurricane Higgins, very famous sort of like maverick player who was amazing but used to drink pints and smoke cigarettes, and he died quite young.
Because I remember when I first moved to the UK in the early 2000s, I had a rude awakening that on Sundays, like the only thing on was snooker for like months, it seemed. I was like,
so much
what,
yeah,
just all great. Day?
Yeah, if you didn't have Sky television, cable television in the UK, you were pretty much, yeah, it was Sunday TV viewing is pretty bad on terrestrial television.
And everything was closed as well, so it was like, it's not even like I can go somewhere and not watch TV.
Is that why you moved back to the US, just to watch better TV on a Sunday?
It was mostly for the Sunday TV stuff. That was the main factor. They asked me that at immigration. Before we get to listings here, the 90s had a sort of short-lived little feature in TV Guide that I always find interesting, and it's what I watch. And they ask like various celebrities what they watch. And I'm always shocked. Like it's almost never, or I'm like, yeah, that sounds about right. And this one is Jack Lemmon, which is a pretty big star to have, you know, Oscar-winning actor Jack Lemmon. And he says he just watches A&E and the Discovery Channel.
Really? I mean, that's hilarious. He's really undermined the point of him being in this. Their whole sort of brand is based on the amount of different things you watch on TV, and he just watches one there.
And I also love, he said, they ask who controls the remote, you or your wife? And this is a really fascinating answer I've never seen before. He says, we both have a remote.
What?
Sometimes we click
that's
at
crazy.
The same time and all hell breaks
what?
Loose.
His and hers remotes.
Yes.
I didn't even know you could do that. I guess you can do that. Of course, you can program another remote for your TV. And that's a real rich guy thing.
Yeah.
The idea of buying a second remote feels like something only a billionaire.
And having like shootouts, like draw, like who gets to pick the show.
Why does he even need a remote? It's just like Discover. Just put it on this. Just put it on the same network. He only needs one channel. He just needs his own television with one network on it.
He's doing it for the sport. That has to be the only reason why you do it.
Yeah. It's because he hates his wife.
And weirdly, this article about Dean Cain, given that he's super Christian, the photo they use in the first thing is literally him walking on water. He's in like a
suit. Oh yeah,
it's a little
that
weird.
Was his early, maybe that's when he decided to go super. He's like, I didn't even, the fact that he thinks he's Jesus.
Yeah,
he's like, why not?
Yeah,
but he's a. You got to say though, he's a. They're both very handsome and
oh yeah.
I don't even. What's she been in?
Terry Hatcher was in Desperate Housewives.
Oh, no, she was in Desperate Housewives. Yeah. Yes, Terry Hatcher.
Yep.
I used to love Terry Hatcher. I think she used to... This came about... I was nine, so a couple of years later, I started to be attracted to women. I would know I was attracted to women. And it was a time when, in the UK, I don't know how to hear, FHM Top 100 Sexiest Women was a big thing.
Yep.
Terry Hatcher, I believe, won... one of those years, or was at least in the top three.
Yeah, I mean, was it like Jordan that probably beat her? That was
Gillian Anderson won one year, actually.
That makes sense.
And then Jordan, I don't know if Jordan ever won it. It was a real, it was a bit more wholesome back when I was FHM.
When I was a boy. For Him magazine.
Yeah, exactly. And then it became just gratuitous shark injuries and naked ladies. But Terry Hatcher. So yeah, she was a real... She would have been at the me just sort of discovering that that I find adult ladies sexy.
Well, that's a good thing. She's a good one to discover that with. Prior to being cast in this, she had been in some weird B movies, and she's in a movie starring with Andrew Dice Clay.
Wow.
And it's called Brain Smasher, A Love Story.
Yes.
And it is a
Brain Smasher, a love
weird
story.
Comedy that she did like the year before Lois and Clark. And when that came out and she got big, they really like re-released this movie to cable. So they're like, starring Lois and Clark's Terry Hatcher.
So can I just check something? Because here's where I got a little bit confused. It was called Lois and Clark in America, because in the UK it was called The New Adventure of Superman. So when I was looking through the guide, one day I saw Lois and Clark and I was like, what's Lois? I don't... Well, I don't think I know that. I thought, is it the same thing? And I thought, so I actually stupidly didn't choose it, but I would have chosen it. So we might
yes,
have
put the New Mulligan Adventures of Superman was the subtitle. So it was Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman.
Maybe I misremembered it.
Well, it very well may have just been called that in the UK because it makes more sense. I don't think it was as well known. And we also had a bunch of Superman shows. There was also a Superboy show that was on at the same time as Lois and Clark.
Oh, you can never have too much Super, dude.
So I think they were like, Boy. Let's try and make this apart from Super. Oh, Superboy was terrible. Real bad.
I mean, it sounds bad.
It was bad. Universal Studios Florida had to have something shooting at all times. So if people go to the park, they see like, here, we're shooting a real movie, a real TV show. So they just kept renewing Superboy, so they had something for people to see when they were on tourists, and it's awful. It's awful.
Okay, sorry, I've now actually... Great, okay, that makes sense. Okay, I know what I'm going to...
We've solved this. Saturday night, then. Let's jump in. What did you do?
I watched Beverly Hills Cop 2, mate.
It's a good movie.
Beverly Hills Cop 2. It's a great movie. Genuinely, I used to... I was in the UK, but that's when you used to record movies onto a VCR, which I don't know. I'm guessing the demographic of this is older.
Yeah.
They
know.
Yeah. Were we the youngest people listening?
Pretty
to this
much, yeah.
So I had recorded Beverly... I used to love recording stuff and record Beverly Hills Cop 2, which I saw a few years before Beverly Hills Cop 1. I used to love Beverly... I've probably watched it 30 times. I love Bridget Nielsen. What a great baddie in it. Just... I always remember that. And it's a great cold open. It's this break into a jewelry store and it's her just doing the countdown with a slightly weird kind of 2 minutes. It's like... It almost like... Janice from Friends.
Yeah, she's like, I'm going to do a Brooklyn accent for some reason.
Yeah, got a Brooklyn accent for no reason, and then doesn't really have it for the rest of the movie. And that's Beverly Hills Cop 1 is great. I think Beverly Hills Cop 2 is in the minority of movies. I argue slightly better than the sequel, slightly better than the first, and then the third one just goes completely off the rails, as we all know.
Yeah.
But it does have Surge in it, and he's like one of my favorite characters in any movie.
And then part four has Jet Li in it, doesn't it? Is Jet Li in part four?
Part four is coming out on Netflix, right?
Oh, you know what I'm confusing it with? Lethal Weapon 4.
You're thinking of Lethal Weapon. Yeah. Well, you're thinking of Lethal Weapon 4, which actually is a good fourth movie. Yeah. And I will say that all the Lethal Weapons are... you've just picked... my genre of movie as a British
action
kid
comedy.
Was action police comedy when you were allowed to be entertained by police-based movies, which... because you didn't quite understand the troubling nature of that job.
A maverick guy who didn't play by the rules and worked outside the law was fun then.
It was fun. There was no real life. There was no body cams back then, so it was fun. But yeah, Beverly Hills Cop 2, I watch that religiously. One of those movies, I just watch that like every couple of months. So I would have been watching that. If I'd seen it on the TV guide, I would have watched it.
When you moved to LA, were you like, I got to go see the shooting locations of Beverly Hills Cop 2?
I definitely got excited going past the Beverly Hills sign. And then I think the building, there's a building he jumps off in Lethal Weapon? Yeah, I get very excited when I go near any... That's the best thing about LA. Yeah. It's like, it doesn't really have much culture, but it does have stuff like, oh, I've been to the bar from Swingers. But yeah, Beverly Hills, very exciting too. And my mate, when he came to visit, went to look at the house that Eddie Murphy stole in Beverly Hills Cop 2.
It is weird that
you just
look at it.
It's a great plot. It's a great plot point in the movie. He goes to a house. It showed you as a British... young, awkward British boy from an early age, just be super confident and you can do anything you yep. want, including steal a house by
right
telling
in.
Some builders that the house should be round, not square, and then they all just quit. It looks so fun.
Yeah, if you just look like you're supposed to be somewhere, people aren't going to question it. That's done me well in life.
And then you just do anything bad and you just say, I didn't always used to be a cop.
Yep.
And then you can get away with anything.
Right.
It's a great movie.
Give me a cop and badge. Yeah, that's a good call. I am also drawn to Baywatches on that night. And this episode in particular, Geraldo Rivera is in it in a rare acting role. He is playing the jealous fiance of a swimmer rescued by Mitch.
Wow. I mean, it's great.
That's peak 90s.
I mean, Baywatch was a... Baywatch, and 95 would be, Pamela Anderson would have been,
oh, yeah.
I think.
Yep.
Yeah.
She was still on it. They just put Nicole Eggert in, I think, at 95. Biggest show in the world at 95.
Billion people watched it worldwide, right? It's crazy.
Anything else on Saturday? Are you doing Beverly Hills Cop all night?
I think I'm doing Beverly Hills Cop all night. Well, let me just check if there's anything else. And I think it's Beverly Hills Cop is all night. That's it. That's me done. That's my bedtime.
Were there any movies that you saw, U.S. movies that you saw on TV in the U.K., that you then saw uncut in the U.S. and were surprised? Because I was shocked that, like, sex would get left in movies, but violence would get cut out when I was there. So, like, you're watching Terminator and, like, the nudity and sex scenes in there, but, like, a bunch of the violence is cut out.
Oh, that's so funny. I can't even think of the, because I guess I watched a lot of them when I was younger. Then when I'd come over here, I didn't really come over here till I was much older. So no, I never saw that. That's such a funny, that it does show the difference though. Europe, it's like,
oh, yeah.
You can show boobs and stuff, but you can't show people getting gratuitously murdered. But here it's fine to have that.
Because I would imagine that'd be so weird. Like when you see a movie uncut and it's nudity, you're like, oh, that makes sense. But to be like, wait a minute, these people are just slaughtered? I never knew this happened.
I know. That's so funny. It's you want to see all the, yeah, my mom and dad, weird. They let me just watch any of that stuff. Like no matter how violent or set from like the age of, probably like 9 or 10. They just never. But I don't know. I've got a 6-month-old now, so I don't know what I'm going to do with not exposing him to stuff. But I don't think I've turned into a psychopath, so I don't really know. I don't really. Obviously, you want to like be careful what you let them see, but then also I feel like I never had it banned, so I never.
You feel like you turned out okay? Yeah, I feel like at 6 months you could show him Beverly Hills Cop 2 and he'd be all right.
6 months. If he just start really love, he starts stealing houses from the age of 3. I'm like, damn it.
It's like my toddler has a house in Beverly Hills somehow.
Actually, can I stay? I should start teaching how to steal houses.
Like,
it's very expensive to buy them nowadays.
I'll charge your rent. So on Sunday, what'd you do?
Okay, well, so actually then, because of this Lois and Clark mix up on my end, I would be watching Lois and Clark at 7 o'clock. I'd be watching The New Adventures of Superman, as I would call it, 7 to 8. I'd definitely be watching that. I don't know. What was the episode?
So this is where Lex Luthor rises from the dead, having lost his millions, but not his desire for Lois or his wish to kill Superman by getting his hands on some kryptonite.
That's got to be the most, like, the writer's room. That's like day one of the writer's room. The most basic Superman plot you could have there, or described anyway. They haven't really gone into much specific detail, but yeah, it's a repeat as well.
Yeah, it's summertime. So it's summer at this time was almost all repeats. This was like 95. I was 15. This was the golden age of too young to quite have a job fall summer, so I could kind of stay up all night and watch like everything, and you'd catch up on all the reruns.
Oh yeah, I mean, I do kind of miss reruns as a thing where you could watch them. Like now, because of streaming, it's like not really such a thing, is it? And I feel bad. Those actors as well, you know, they must have been absolutely raking it in every time.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's no residuals now. I have friends who, you know, were on big shows and they literally get residual checks for like 11 cents that would have been like $11,000 10 years ago.
I know. It's really sad. Why are we in this industry?
It's awful. There's a horrible slash interesting thing on British filmmaker Nicholas Kent, who made a movie called Naked Hollywood in 1991, which is actually a pretty interesting docuseries, has a 4-hour show about Rush Limbaugh and American politics, like as entertainment, which is, I really am curious to watch their take on it in 95, because for the most part, the people who were sort of warning us at that time were pretty much right about this making it like sports. And so this looks like it would be fascinating / make me really depressed.
No, yes, but it's 4 hours long. Where was that? Crazy. That's so, you can't make anything. I mean, I guess movies sometimes, Christopher Nolan might make something that long now. That's about it.
Yes. He might make a Rush Limbaugh movie. That's four hours long.
That's fair. But yeah, so I'd be watching Lois and Clark and then, you know, and loving the commercials, because, you know, back then I didn't mind commercials. You didn't have the option to. Now we're going back to commercials again, which is funny.
Yeah.
But actually, people.
Yeah, we're recreating
don't
cable and back to commercials.
We're recreating cable, but paying the actors and writers less money.
Yes.
Because actually, no, you don't really mind. They don't really mind. Now that everyone's on their phone all the time, people actually don't mind the commercials.
No, they're like, it's fine. It's, you know, people are used to it, and they accept it as a sacrifice you have to pay for not having to pay for something.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I'd be watching that, and then I'd actually put down The Simpsons, but obviously that clashes. So, but The Simpsons is on like all the time. But I would have also been, I'd be watching The Simpsons if I could. But I'm thinking when that finishes, would I watch Misery? I don't know if I'd watch Misery. It's a bleak movie, but it's
pretty bleak. Although
it's kind of a crazy concept. I do like Misery. And then one caveat of stuff, I picked Another Night, but it is during the Olympics, this, and I am a huge fan of I just like sport. So any random sport I've never even heard of, I will become the biggest obsessive in that. So if that's, let's say, Lois and Clark finished, I would then be watching, what was the sport on here? It was
Summer Olympics. It's from Colorado. It's gymnastics, swimming, and diving.
I'd be into all of that, mate. I'd be watching all of those.
Have you ever dived off like an Olympic level board?
Yeah, but not like an actual dive. I've like jumped off it because I don't want to
risk terrifying.
Doing that. It's mental. No. And they do that. And then the commentators always give them grief for having more than a teacup's worth of water that backsplashes. I'm like, I don't even know how they do.
Yeah. Or like not being perfectly straight. I'm like, I just dive and hope that I don't die.
Just a weird fact about me is I do you ever do something because like you hear it's a good thing for you and then you realize, like, why am I doing? Tom Daley, the British diver, I heard in an interview, has half a lemon squeezed into warm water every morning to help his, give him vitamin C and help his metabolism. And I do that every morning still. And I don't know why. I'm not doing any sort of high level sport, but I have half a lemon squeezed into warm water every morning because of Tom Daley.
Something to that, I will tell you, as someone who's had kidney stones, which I would not recommend, that's one of the things they recommend to help you not get them.
Oh, really? Okay, right. There you go.
Is some citric acid every day and a lemon's worth of citric acid. So you may have saved yourself from the incredible pain of kidney stones.
All right, there we go. Thanks, Tom Daley.
Yeah, because you can't dive if you're in horrible pain. No, I also want to mention the only other thing that, two things that jumped out on this Sunday night is the George Carlin show.
Yes,
is on.
Well, I don't even know what that show, but I love George Carlin, so that was the other thing that put.
You would not like this.
Oh,
then.
Really?
This is so weird. It was a sitcom with George Carlin. It was the first time he had a sitcom, which is in 95. They had an amazing, like, murderer's row of character actors. All these people that worked on Cheers and Taxi were writers. Like, just talent behind the show is huge. But it's awful. He plays a taxi driver who hangs out at a bar. They literally were like, can we just combine Cheers and Taxi and put George Carlin in it? And they were like, I guess. And it's not good.
That's that weird thing where, like, presumably back then they were like, I guess he had creative. Was it like, you never know whether the execs decided or not, but like, yeah, probably. So that does sound like an exec thing. Cheers was a hit. Taxi's a hit. Combine them. Whereas George Carlin. But George Carlin's such a. It's now I think about it, like him as in a sitcom. I mean, he was in Rufus in Bill and Ted, but really, he's so good at just monologuing about what's wrong with the world. So it's very hard to imagine him even playing a version of himself in real life. It doesn't quite fit in my head, but there you go.
Yeah, there was nothing about it that screamed George Carlin. Like, even the show Chicken Soup with Jackie Mason, he would do a monologue before and after the show, and then in the middle, it was like a regular sitcom. And I'm like, they could have done that with George Carlin, and it would have worked, but instead it's just like, here's just a sitcom about, like, a 60-year-old guy who has no money.
Yeah, well, that's also, you're right, like, 95, that's like, it's after Seinfeld. Like, he was, like, way more, well, I mean, yeah, he was at his peak a few years before that, but all right. Okay.
Yeah, Roseanne, all those people. And then the Outer Limits is on that night, and I mention it because this is a really cool episode. This is the new Outer Limits that Showtime did. This one is written by and starring Leonard Nimoy. He also directed it, and it's an adaptation of I, Robot, the Isaac Asimov story, and it's a courtroom drama about a robot that is accused of murder, and it's actually like one of the quintessential sci-fi stories of all time. It's the thing that established those like rules of robotics that they people even use like in real life, and it's a really cool episode. Leonard Nimoy is really good in it. He plays the defense attorney, and it's a cool episode. I forgot that it aired that night.
I've never seen Outer Limits, but that's like the type of sci-fi kind of different bespoke episodes.
Yeah, like Tales of the Unexpected, that kind of thing. Outer Limits was the more monster sci-fi focused one, but some of the best TV I've ever seen. The very saddest hour of television I think I've seen was an Outer Limits episode called the Architects of Fear, and it's very good. Okay. It's very good. Monday.
If I got down for Monday, I've got WWF Wrestling. That's what I put on there. Because I think at that time, I was still watching wrestling for a bit. I think I was just at the tail end of, or maybe it was in between. I think I was, I think I was watching a bit of wrestling then. I think that was Stone Cold and Steve Austin.
It was the very beginning of those guys. It was that sort of, the Undertaker was huge. You had like Doink the Clown and that kind of stuff. But it was before like Triple H and Mankind coming in.
It was like I was in that. I sort of did. I know lots of adults and lots of comedians do love WWE now. But I think that was, I watched it from about the age of 9 till I was about 11. And then I was like, that's enough of that. But I would have been watching probably it then. WWE would have been what, or Fresh Prince, obviously. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air is
Fresh Prince is great. It's shocking to me how big of a hit Fresh Prince was
in
the UK.
Biggest thing in the world in the UK.
It's so weird to me which shows were huge hits over there. Because for the most part, sitcoms of ours didn't tend to do well because comedy doesn't travel that well, and it was mostly action shows or, you know, soapy stuff like Dallas or even Lois and Clark. So I was surprised when, you know, I would talk to friends and like Fresh Prince was huge.
It's Matt, like every there's like a video of Will Smith going to a school in London like less than 10 years ago, so the kids would have not watched Fresh Prince when it came out. And they all sing the theme song to him because I think that it still lives on, like, you know, talk about a show being repeated a ton. That just, yeah, it was a real, it was one of those ones where you're a kid. I think it was fascinating to see, like, because you don't really have black American culture on our TVs really in the UK. And it was it's kind of like a soft entry to that world, right? Because it's like, you know, he's in this sort of, he's the kind of he's fish out of water
in this culture clash thing. You've got
Carlton is a very funny, and it's just like funny big characters. So you know, I think that, and you know, that and Friends were probably two of the biggest sort of American sitcoms, because you know, at the end of the day, I always think character's king in anything. So the fact that they're such well-crafted characters. And then Uncle Phil, weirdly, now I think about it, I've quite a, my dad, who I love very much, those two shows, now I think about it, made me like really engage with the idea of being funny and like getting laughs. And so all the fat jokes Will Smith said to Uncle Phil, I was like, oh, can I just do this with my dad? And like my dad is very easygoing. Like you could just say anything to my dad. So he just doesn't care. He's just so I was just,
it's a good punching guy.
I know. I was like, this is great. This is like, he's giving me material. Obviously now I kind of feel like a mean 9-year-old, but my dad just took it all in good spirit. So that him.
Oh, your kid will get you back.
Oh yeah. I got so much karma coming my way. So I can't get angry. I'll just be like, yeah, you can just say whatever you want about me.
I deserve that. That's interesting you say that, because like I think about like the only sort of sitcoms in the UK at the same time that would be about black culture was like Desmond's.
Yeah. No, Desmond's was super,
which was good.
It was.
Really good show, but so different.
So different. And then I was saying that, like, that's the intro. I was saying that to my wife the other day. I was like, we're talking about Desmond's. That's really ahead of its time. And then I go, yeah, I think it was that weird thing in the UK where you never had, in the 90s, you would never have, like, a mix of... Do you know what I mean? It was like, that was like the black show.
Yeah.
For the black demographic, but also for white people curious about it. And then I was talking about the Kumars at number 42.
Oh, yeah, number 42.
Being made for Fox right now, which is crazy to me, because I was like, that was so... It was like 20 years ago, that. But that was, again, I used to find that really funny, but it was also... it was a fascinating insight into a culture that you just, you know, especially as a 9-year-old kid, you just aren't, you know, I'm not hanging out in black barbershops and stuff, but it was a good, like, yeah, it was interesting to see the UK. It was like they had the separate shows, and obviously the good thing with society sort of progressing is now you can see different characters in different shows, but there are some shows that still feel like, you know, this world is more of a black world or Asian world or white
world. Oh, absolutely.
World. It's like, you're right though. You had Fresh Prince, but did you have anything as like that? Desmond's?
Oh yeah, there was a ton. So the 70s was a big time. We had stuff like Good Times and What's Happening, and Norman Lear sort of discovered that you could make shows about black, middle-class black people, and people would really like them. And there's a lot of middle-class black people and lower-class black people who, you know, financially are in the same scenario. They want to see shows about people like them. And they were massive hits. And then in the 90s, sort of Fox carved out a niche as being sort of the urban sitcom channel. Mm-hmm. So they had Living Single, which was basically Black Friends a year before Friends. Martin, right. There was a Rock. They had a ton of sitcoms aimed at that crowd, and they were all really mm-hmm. good. It's it definitely, like most things here, if it makes money, sometimes good stuff is made because people want to try to jump on that gravy train.
It's America, mate. If you can make a dollar, it's happening.
Yep, exactly. Where are we? Tuesday night?
Okay. Tuesday. What have I got for Tuesday? Home Improvement, mate.
The funny thing
Home
about
Improvement.
Oh, God. See, that's a show I never could get into. That show's too American for me.
But the thing is, I was 9.
Yeah, that's about
so
right.
So it's funny because, like, I'm like, Tim Allen, this is hilarious. He's just like a real, he's got 3 kids and he's really manly. And he goes, oh. And then when you think about it, that is sort of what a 9-year-old should find funny. But I couldn't work out, is 8 p.m. So I guess it was pitched at a family show.
Yes. Yeah. So that's the other thing that's always interesting to me about the UK is so many of our primetime shows that were aimed at adults or for sort of the whole family aired in the UK like after school and were like, this is for children.
I mean, I don't want to say it, but I will say it. That shows the difference in the... Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's, you know, it's people like, oh, I love the A-Team when I was a kid. We'd watch it on, like, you know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm like, that was a show for adults here.
That's really, I never thought of that. That's really funny. That's so true though. Yeah, you're right. Like that's our theater. That's our grown up theater, Home Improvement. But yeah, as a kid, love that show so much. I will say Wilson, that's a great character.
It is.
I still reference him all the time. Anytime you only see someone like that, I'm like, well, you like Wilson from Home Improvement? Always gets a laugh. It's a great
And that character's written interestingly as well, because he's sort of the sage and also like is a character. Yes. Like he's one of the more fully formed actual characters on the show, weirdly.
Definitely. Yeah, no. But the Tim Allen thing is funny because my friend Emma, when we were, I was driving down Sunset here, and was I on at the Laugh Factory or was I going past that? And, you know, the Laugh Factory has all, it flashes up
the
who's on, who's
it,
coming yeah. on. We've got, you know, Chris Rock, Jordan Rock. I'm trying to think of whoever's on there. And then she saw Tim Allen's name. I was like, Tim Allen's on? Just like it's like the biggest celebrity in the world was on. Because she, Australian as well, grew up watching Home Improvement. I mean, that show must have done, I don't know how many seasons, but...
Oh yeah, it was on like 12 seasons, and then people of a certain age, like he was in the Santa Claus movies, and like, but like he's a huge star for certain people. His stand up is complete garbage, but
I've never seen it, so I can't comment either way.
Oh,
but,
it's bad.
But,
it's it's bad. It's about exactly what you think it would be.
But the but you know what? Actually, I thought as maybe again 9 year old. I like the kid, the brotherly dynamic. I just had a sister, but the young brothers dynamic, and then you see them, that fun child age actor where you see them growing through puberty season by season, and I don't know. It's kind of a fun, maybe a voyeuristic thing to look at, and then you're looking at the big.
Well, the youngest one became super goth in the later seasons, which was really weird.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's that, and then. Home Improvement, and then clashing with Home Improvement is actually, I think my favorite American sitcom of all time, which is Frasier. But I don't know if I would have been appreciated it when I was nine, because you say primetime stuff. I mean, that wasn't necessarily a kid's show, but that show, as I, you know, I still love Friends and stuff, but Frasier, I think, is just one of the greatest shows ever made. It's so good. The character, talk about...
Were you a Cheers fan?
Weirdly, I never watched Cheers, never really got into Cheers, but Frasier, the farce in it, the there's such a simple premise, right? Which is working class dad or blue collar dad and hoity-toity sons, and then Niles is just the best character of all time.
Which is a much more British setup for comedy because it's about class.
Yes.
It's not like we rarely have shows about class, and we rarely have shows here about sort of pompous upper class people who are made to look silly. Like that is not a model we generally have here. That sort of, it's the Fawlty Towers, you know, it's like Frasier kind of does fit into that category, and which is unusual for most of the sitcoms here, especially in the 90s.
Yeah. And then you made me think about it. So I guess it must have attracted at the time the slightly more intellectual, for lack of a better term, viewer to be like, oh, this is the sort of thinking man's Friends or whatever. But yeah, just a great show. So good. And then the remake doesn't have the two of my favorite characters from the show, so that's hard to get into it.
One's dead, so that's probably good.
It's hard to put him in. You never know, AI, mate. You could get him back in there.
That's true. They've done weirder things. But yeah, it sort of was an evolution of Cheers, because on Cheers, which is one of my favorite shows ever. It's everyone hangs out at this bar because they're all alcoholics, right? And so the great uniform.
That's very British.
It is. It really is. Early Doors, one of my favorite shows. Great British show. But it's funny because you literally have like a mailman sitting next to a clinical psychiatrist and all these people. And the great unifier is they're all alcoholics and they're in this bar in the afternoon. So it sort of had that same kind of thing that just sort of, you know, became much more focused when it moved over to Frasier. But yeah, very interesting show for sure. Then where are we? Wednesday?
Party of Five, I've gone with. God. I couldn't ask me to describe anything from it apart from Neve Campbell and
Jennifer Love Hewitt,
talk about, and that again, I'm talking about me, just my coming of age as a young boy, but also what was the guy's name, the main dude in it? I can really picture his face. He always used to wear
Matt Wolf.
Yeah, was, but the Wolf? Character, he used to wear a Letterman jacket, and the name is Bailey.
Oh yeah,
his name is
he's the alcoholic.
Bailey, I think his name
Bailey. Yeah.
And I can't remember anything from that show, but I just remember seeing it, and it was one of those shows that I would never be like excited to watch it, but I would watch it. Because it was just, I think it was probably on the sort of like, you're talking about, again, after school, what's on TV, what can I watch? So it would have been, Party of Five. I guess it was like an early sort of family dramery, like a This Is Us for the 90s, is it? I don't even...
Sort of. Like the premise was these kids' parents died, so their 18-year-old brother had to become their guardian. And it's very melodramatic, and it's very like beautiful people having problems, and Bailey's an alcoholic. And the ad in here for this one is ridiculous. It's the oldest brother and his girlfriend, and it's like, the hottest romance on television is just getting started tonight. Party of Five. And then the funniest part is under that it says, winner of the 1995 Humanitas Prize.
Oh, there we go. I love it. What a crazy prize. I love that. That's hilarious.
It's going to get hot. Humanitas, 1995. It all works. A show that was huge. People do not revisit it. It does not have the sort of nostalgic vibe of 90210, or because it's just so over the top. it goes beyond parody sometimes, where it's not even enjoyable on like an ironic level as an adult.
I know. I bet. Yeah. I mean, it was like poor man's Dawson's Creek, probably, for me. I didn't even have Dawson's Creek at that time yet, but it was.
Dawson's Creek came out in 99, early 2000, and Dawson's Creek was significantly better written.
Dawson's Creek was way better. But, you know, those
way
shows,
better.
Party 5, it felt like it went on for eight. I don't know how many seasons it did. It felt like it did.
It was on for a while. It was on for like eight seasons, I think.
About then. Ugh, the good old days to be a TV writer.
Yeah. Plus, like, teenage girls loved it. And the 90s is when American
boys.
Television... Yeah, British boys, teenage girls, same thing. But they realized that teenage girls were like the best audience to get and were actually the most lucrative demographic that bought stuff. So they started to really promote stuff
well,
to that
audience.
Well, that's
what every network is still trying to get the TikTok people watches on, which is good. Yep. You know, that's why. It's the death of television.
So where are we? Wednesday? We're on Thursday?
Thursday. Okay. So there's a few actually that I'd like to watch on here. I'm going to start with Burke's Law, which is that's the father and son detectives, right? And that was on Channel 5. And I used to watch it on my mum, and I used to really like watching that. That was like the, you know, how like everything's become like a murder solving thing. But that was early watching of a procedural for me. Burke's Law, Mad About You is also on at the same time. I used to watch Mad About You. I used to quite like Mad About You. I've done shows with Paul Reiser, but
I'm so jealous.
But I every time I see him, I tell him how much I like his character in Beverly Hills Cop more than Mad. I don't even mention Mad About You because I really like his.
I'd go Alien or Diner.
Right, that's but he's one of the guys. I don't really care about famous people, but I'm just like I love Beverly Hills Cop so much. I'm like, dude,
yeah,
great. I love your character in that, and he's always like, oh, cheers. So Mad About You, I would watch it if it's on, but I'm choosing Burke's Law because of the nostalgic memories of watching that with my mum. And then I'm going from that to Seinfeld to Friends. And then I think, so yeah,
that's a solid night. Burke's Law is interesting because it's sort of more in that Murder, She Wrote vein. But by 95, we were starting to get like Homicide and CSI and those shows where I always say the difference between the 80s murder shows and the 90s murder shows is autopsies.
Oh, that's so funny.
Like, the other ones, people just clutch and die, and they're like, I see that the window is open, but in the, you know, 2 years later, it'd be like, we cut open his stomach contents, and there's so much semen. And you're like, oh, God. Mad About You, I love. Mad About You, I always say, is one of the three most underrated sitcoms of the 90s, along with News Radio and Spin City.
I love Spin City.
Holds
oh,
up
my God, mate.
Spin City's so City. Good.
It's one of the best.
So
and
good.
Sorry, just to go on a
character
tangent,
stuff.
I was watching The Peacemaker, the movie The Peacemaker last night.
Oh, yeah.
And what's the character in the gay character in Spin City? Sorry, just come.
Oh, Carter. Yeah.
He is he's an army general in The Peacemaker. And I go to Hannah, I'm like, it's the guy from Spin City. So I used to love Spin City. Yes.
Yeah, he's great. He's on The Good Fight and The Good Wife as well.
Okay, good.
Awesome.
I always hope someone I love from a show has a good acting career. Great.
Oh yeah, he works all the time, and he's every time he pops up and stuff, I'm like, this guy's great. Michael Boatman, I think is his name.
Yes, that's correct.
Mad About You is great. Its characters, its dialogue, it just holds up. This episode is particularly interesting because a very strange thing is Carl Reiner is in this episode, guest starring.
Right.
But he's playing Alan Brady, which is the character he was on the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Wow.
So it's a really weird 40 years later, same character, it's in the same universe episode. So that's very interesting to me. I feel like I need to go back and watch that one.
That's crazy.
Because that's weird. Seinfeld, again, huge show here. Did nothing sort of in the UK. It was sort of a cult show. It was on like late on Channel 4 or something. Yeah. But Friends, massive.
Biggest show in the world, Friends. I mean, you know, talk about every day going into school on... I can't remember what day it aired. Maybe it aired on like a Wednesday night or something. And then you would religiously watch it and then come in the next day. And then Chandler watching, I mean, Matthew Perry dying this year. Last year?
Yeah.
Genuinely
last year.
Super sad because he was like, talk about Fresh Prince and those jokes about Uncle Phil. I was probably 10 watching Friends for the first time. It came out in 95, I think.
Yep, right. 94, 95 of that season.
Yeah, it was maybe nine years. Maybe I watched it from season two and then I started, you know, back catalogued it afterwards. So I was 9 or 10. I was like, oh, you can like just like be sarcastic and make your friends laugh. It was like, It was like, I didn't even know that was an option until I watched Chandler do it. And then that became my identity for my whole school life. So Matthew Perry had a huge impact on me. And then, you know, as the show goes on, you actually, what's fun about the show and maybe why I'm drawn to writing and just general TV anyways, you go, oh, the character's changed. So actually, Chandler, I think Ross Geller is the funniest character by quite a long way by the end, because it's like Dennis in Always Sunny, just gets deeper and deeper into kind of going off the rails, and he gets angry and all that stuff. But yeah, Chandler when he was single was extremely funny, and then when he fell in love, as all of us, became less funny.
Yeah. And it's like you've run out of people to date on that show. They've done all the combinations that are legal.
Yes.
It's a little weird. And Seinfeld, a show, again, I've said this on the show before, but loved it at the time. I feel like it doesn't hold up. I can't quite watch it now. It's like, because all the jokes are about plot and they're like magic trick reveal plots, and the character stuff isn't as funny. So once you see it, it doesn't hold up on multiple views, but everyone disagrees with me.
Okay.
Friday night, what are you doing?
Boy Meets World. That's what I've got here. Boy Meets World. I mean, again,
did that air in the UK?
Yeah, mate. I was very attracted to Topanga, which was okay because of my age at the time.
Yes, that's age appropriate.
So yeah, Boy Meets World, Corey, Topanga, that will they won't they, brilliant, loved it. And that was like, that was in the, you know, that and Home Improvement, I think were I think at the time I must have had Sky Television, so there's a network called Trouble, which basically aired, you know, Saved by the Bell, The Colleges, Fresh Prince, Sister, USA High.
Oh God, USA High.
Yeah, mate. That's why I had to move to America. All those shows I used to love. USA High, which was an American college in Paris, it was just the worst version of Saved by the Bell.
There was a lot of City Guys, Hang Time.
Hang Time, used to love that. So when I saw Mark Curry performing at the Improv, I was like, that's exciting. He's from so many of those guys. What else was there? City Guys. Yeah, I used to watch that. And then, Hanging.
A California
Hanging
Dreams.
With Mr. Cooper. California Hanging Dreams. That was Mr. it. Cooper. I still know the theme tunes.
Don't
California
wake Dreams. Me up, because I'm dreaming.
It's a great song. And then, so Boy Meets World was right up there, mate. It was another great one. And then, that was on a lot of seasons, that. But Mr. Feeney, you know, just, it was great.
Yeah, that was on like 6 seasons. And the last 2 seasons, they really became like a full-on Friends ripoff, which is really weird. Lived in an apartment. It's very strange. Friday night, I want to mention a great show was on as a summer replacement series. So one of the few things that wasn't a rerun was Michael Moore's TV Nation. And this was Michael Moore's Fox show that was like a docu-series show. This was the first thing that Louis Theroux ever did in the U.S.
Wow. Hang on. Are you serious? Louis Theroux was on this in 95?
Yes. This was the first thing he did. It might have been the first thing he did, but he was doing very Louis Theroux-type things, those sort of, you know, almost Daily Show-type segments that people would think now that he went to do a Weird Weekends with after. He did that on TV Nation. The other correspondents were Karen Duffy, who's an amazing friend of the show. Janine Garofalo was one of them.
Right.
It's a really interesting show that was about 10 years ahead of its time. It was ahead of the Daily Show. It didn't do well. It was a little too weird for people. It had, I think, too much of a point of view. There was a running thing about like white collar criminals. Like people just didn't want, they weren't having it, you know?
Wow.
But that's where I first heard of Louis Theroux.
Wow. That's crazy. He actually, where I live in East Hollywood, he used to live nearby when I first got here, because he used to write in a coffee shop near me, and then used to live near me in London when I used to live in London. But by all accounts, everyone says he's a lovely bloke. So
I've only heard good things, but also he's stalking you apparently.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what makes him so lovely. He knows a good target when he sees one.
He's a good fan. Well, that is the week. Anything else in here that jumped out at you?
I mean, just on this final day, I was like, well, if you're going back to movies, which I'm watching Terminator. And yeah. I'm watching Demolition Man, and the Demolition Man, just for the fact that it has two of the greatest character names of all time, Simon Phoenix and John Spartan. And I honestly, one of my favorite things to do is just look up action star names on IMDb. So
Seagal is the best, especially his early movies.
Mason Storm's a great one. Actually, Jean-Claude Van Damme's pretty good, especially ones you've not even heard of. There's one character he plays in something, I've never even seen it, called Vincent Brazil. And I'm like, that's a great name.
Have you ever seen Stone Cold?
No, I haven't seen Stone Cold.
Oh, you got to see Stone Cold. It's a 90s football player, Brian Bosworth. Huge mullet, American football player. He plays a character named John Stone.
John Stone. I love it.
Literally opening scene, he like murders some criminal in a supermarket robbery, and he goes, "Is a cleanup on aisle four." Like,
oh, yes.
Turn in your gun and badge. It's got everything you ever wanted.
Stone Cold. All right. Well, yeah. Me and the missus will watch that because we love anything like that.
Okay. Yeah. Fantastic. Well, I know you got an infant to get to, so I won't keep you all night here.
Thanks, mate.
But I do need to hear what you think of Stone Cold when you watch it. So okay. I will need a follow up.
I'll message you.
Yeah, fantastic. And that's the week. Anything in here that you were like, oh, I need to go back and watch? That was a surprise?
Nothing crazy. Home Improvement, when we talked about it, I was like, I kind of want to watch that now just to see how badly that's... You want to see how badly it's aged? Yeah. I want to see how badly it's aged, because like most stuff doesn't age well. But like obviously Frasier, partly why I think it's great is it's aged so well. Oh yeah,
it's very timeless. Home Improvement, I will say, aged very well because it was always garbage.
Okay, right. It stayed exactly the same. Okay.
It just no change.
Okay, perfect. All right.
Right there.
Perfect. Well, it's a hit show and I can't begrudge them that.
Yeah, I mean, they made a lot of money. What do I know? I'm here. Well, thank you so much, Ben. Nice meeting you and great to talk to you.
Thanks, mate.
There you go. That's Chris. Super funny guy. ChrisMartinComedy.co.uk. Above Ground Comedian is his new special on YouTube, which is free. Very funny guy. Hopefully you won't get confused when I have Chris Martin from Coldplay on, which will probably definitely happen. He keeps bothering me about being on the show. And I'm like, dude, I don't know. I'm thinking about it. So he may or may not be on. But we'll have someone very good on next week. So I hope to see you here for that, for a brand new edition of TV Guidance Counselor.